Perfectly Sane Show is hosted by Vagary.tv and sponsored by GoDaddy.com. This week, if you go to GoDaddy.com and use the code PSANE20, you'll get an additional 20% off 1, 2, or 3 year hosting plans.
Whoa, whoa, pontificate.
Like it that. Starts with a P, Fozzie.
Shut up.
Like the Persian breeze.
Yeah, your candle all
is that like Fozzie light. After a burrito? The Persian breeze.
I'm glad we're all so enthusiastic about this.
I'm excited.
I'm excited. Get excited.
Giggity.
Get on the same page. Everybody rows in this boat, guys. Everybody rows in this boat.
This is going to be amazing.
Holy I got God. Really bad yeah. rhythm, let me tell you, Jeff.
Okay, 24? Gentlemen, we are 1 week away from 25.
This is episode 24 of the Perfectly Sane Show. I am Chris, and as usual, I'm here with three nut jobs.
Whoa, whoa. I feel honored.
Right, let me just like, say, Matt, Jeff is not a nut job.
No, Jeff admits even he's a nut job.
yes, Tony's here.
I brought some tissues for Jeff to cry over at Junction Point.
I don't know what to hear. You're going to have to tell me about that.
We'll get into that a little bit. Fozzie.
Staring down a bottle of vodka. I don't know what to do here.
And Jeff.
And I got my Smittix. And that's the proper pronunciation.
I got some that's ice true. Cream and Coke. Not in the same container.
Ew.
That's unfortunate.
What alcohol is in it?
Nothing. I'm just eating ice cream and drinking Coke.
Damn it.
Why don't you put those two together and make an ice cream float?
Yeah, because the ice cream kind of already melted for the most part.
Ew.
Yeah, so we played some games this week.
Oh,
did we ever?
I did at least. But
I did. Let's
see what you guys were up to. Tony, what have you been up to?
I finished my second playthrough of Mass Effect 2. I managed to get through all the DLC, which is all awesome.
Golf clap. Golf clap.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's do it. Thank you. No, the DLC totally makes the game worth replaying entirely through one more time. It is all incredible. I'm so glad I picked it up.
Dude, yeah, the DLC is awesome. Which DLC? You haven't played any of them before?
I hadn't played any of them, no.
God, so. Dear God, man.
So I got all three of them.
Oh.
So I heard Shadow Broker is the best one out of the...
Shadow Broker is fucking, yeah, it's amazing, yeah. Dude.
Oh, yeah, but all of them are good. I mean, yeah. The worst one of the three is still Kasumi's Stolen Memory is still, by and large, one of the better DLCs you'll play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even that, it only looks bad in comparison to how great the other ones are.
I'm going to replay it without the DLC because I'm cheap.
Well, you should have picked it up. I got it all on...
Yeah, then they have
Microsoft's like winter sale. I picked it all for about 800 Microsoft points. For all
I know, I know, I saw that, but at that time I wasn't playing.
Three
play
of them,
the
you get 800. Jeff,
something like that.
They're like 60. They're like 60%. They're like 250 each, and Jesus. I just wasn't at that point. I wasn't planning on replaying it, but now it's like I'm looking at what's coming out and what I have. I'm like, I'm gonna be playing a lot of PS3, and I think on 360 I'm gonna play Mass Effect 2 again because I only played it once. But it'll be enough new stuff for me, even without DLC. I'm gonna play it different. Plus, I don't.
Yeah, I kind of like this time of year for replaying games.
Hell yeah!
Mostly because there aren't really like the big releases, Dead Space 2 and Little Big Planet are games. They're good, but they're not really up my alley. So I play other stuff. So it's kind of nice to get into that stuff that I've just lying around.
So what else have you have lying around you've been playing?
I played a lot of Europa Universalis 3, which is a PC game, which I thought was fairly obscure until I noticed GameSpy picked it as one of their best 25 PC games of the decade. So it was like number 20, I think 24 on the list.
So not that obscure.
Yeah, I mean, have you guys heard of it?
I haven't, no. But it's that's a strategy type game, right?
Right, right. Basically, yeah. You take a country and you play through the age of like European expansion into the Americas and Africa and all those places. So you start in like 1420 and you go all the way till 1820. And the turns are like days, and it's sort of real time, but not really. It's really fun. I mean, I like it. You get to lead your country however you want to lead it, and
what? Conquer
your neighbors. And
what game are we talking about here?
It's Europa Universalis 3.
Jesus, what type of name is that?
A long one.
It's actually named after a board game on the subject.
Oh,
what like subject the first is this? One. European history from like the original board game was from 1492 to 1792. So it started with Columbus and ended with French Revolution.
French Revolution, yeah.
But of course, there's been three games on the subject, and I know the third game is on its fourth expansion now. So it's had a lot added to it.
Shit.
You all right there, Fozzy?
Fozzy just fainted. He's like, the idea of the game is just too overwhelming for me.
Holy shit! 300 years.
My fucking headphone got like stuck. Yeah, let's continue.
I mean, it's not a game for everybody. If you play through the Total War games and you really like the turn-based part. In the campaign, I'd really recommend trying EU3. It's a great game. And right now, you can pick it up on, I think I saw it on Steam, for $6 with the all the expansions except the newest one.
Nice.
Yeah, so try that out if you see it.
Fuck yeah.
Anything else going down?
Not really. I mean, I'm about 3 hours into the Prince of Persia, The Falling Sands.
Oh.
It's not that exciting.
Oh. Forgotten Sands?
Yeah, it's the Forgotten Sands.
I was about to say, I was like, is that a book or
something? Is there a new one? God damn.
This is the one that came out with the movie.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but it's not exciting either.
Well, Chris, you played that too, didn't you?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it's a decent Prince of Persia game.
Right. It works. I mean, the gameplay works. That's.
You said about 3 hours in.
Something like that.
Yeah, as you get more power over, you know, time manipulation and so you can freeze time and basically like you play a lot with water. There's a lot of like fountains and stuff in the game.
Right. You like freeze them and stuff.
Yeah, and there's like some.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that gameplay.
Yeah, there's some really cool like platforming puzzles later in the game that make you rely on like, you know, freezing time and unfreezing it at a different moment and then freezing it again, and it's pretty cool. It's fun later on. Like early on it's just, you know, kind of pedestrian Prince of Persia, but
right.
Right. Gotcha.
Although it's tossing the achievement points at me left and right, so that's kind of keeping me in the game for the moment. That's it for me.
Sweet. It's
Fozzy. Yo.
What you got?
Let's see what we got here. Well, this brings to memory, because I just played this like an hour ago, is that the Bulletstorm demo, dude.
Yeah, let's talk Bulletstorm.
Yeah. No, I mean, seriously, I was surprised by it. I didn't think it'd be that good. You only got to play 6 or 7 minutes of it, but it's fun. Like, it's just, it's good old-fashioned fun. You don't have to worry about covering and shit. You just go and fucking style and just beat the fuck out of everything you see. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's kind of the essence of game.
I'll give you my three-word review on it.
Okay.
BioShock with bullshit.
Yeah, I can see that. I think I like the over-the-top weapons, you know? I mean, that's what makes it a lot of fun. And, you know, also, like, the skill sets and whatnot. And the cool thing about it is that there's also a leaderboard that you have everyone else's score. So you're competing with everyone else, too. It's kind of like Need for Speed, and I guess it notifies you when someone beats your score or something like that.
Yeah, they're doing, like, an auto-log type.
Yeah,
type
which deal. Is really cool. Oh, I like that, because that's what made Need for Speed one of my top games of last year, because that just made it so much more fun when everyone was playing at the same time. If the multiplayer is as fun as, you know, that the Echoes missions that I was playing, I don't know if I'll still buy it, though. I don't know if it's going to get repetitive, you know. I mean, they only give you one level, which is 7 minutes, so sure, it's fun now, but, I mean, 5 hours?
Well, and you only have a handful of the weapons, too, though. So like,
yeah, that's true.
That's kind of what's cool about it is trying to, you know, get different kills and seeing the different score multipliers you can provide by killing people in creative ways.
Exactly.
Where is the variation in, like, how you kill things? Because as far as I could tell, you could leash stuff, you could kick people, and you could, like, use the environment.
Well,
that's the thing.
But you're basing that off of, like, what? Like, the 7-minute demo, right, Jeff? That you played?
Yeah, but they show, like, footage, like, you know, at the end, they show, like, a little trailer for it, and, like, I didn't see anything beyond using a leash. Like, is there something besides the leash? Is there, like...
Well, I think the environments is what makes it so special, is that we've never seen that much environmental interaction with first-person shooters. I mean, before, you might, like, shoot down a couple rocks or something to, like, you know, take out a few guys, but... Or red barrels or something, but never really did you see someone get spiked into a fucking, like, you know, barbed wire fence and shit. And I mean, it's cool just being able to see what does what, you know, because sometimes you'll unlock a new skill set you didn't even know that you did. But like one time, instead of kicking them, I used the leash, but I powered it up, and then when they went up in the air, one of them fucking hit the spikes up top, and I got a new skill set for that, and I thought that was pretty sick. I was like, oh fuck yeah, that was pretty badass. So, I mean, again, like, I don't know. I'm kind of in the same boat where, is this going to last, you know, am I going to get over this after 2 hours, or is it going to be fun, like, the 10-hour campaign or however long it is?
I think it depends on how much you get into, like, the score-chasing aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's heavily relying on that, in my opinion.
Because, like, I think, like, say you get it on the PS3 and everybody else gets it on the 360, I think you'll be bored with it rather quickly.
Yeah.
But if you're playing, like, there's a bunch of people that are playing it, it could be pretty cool, because, like, shit, he just beat my score by, like, 50 points. I can do better than that.
And the co-op looks sick, too, because you can tell people to grab shit and then you fucking kick it across the, you know, the room. I mean, I think that's pretty cool how you can, like, totally just fuck shit up. I mean, just cause total mayhem. So, you know, I might Gamefly it. We'll see. Definitely Gamefly. I don't know if I'll buy it, though.
I'm going to pick it up, because if you get it on the 360, you get a beta key to Gears 3. So.
Right. That could be worth
it.
That game is going to get so many sales off of that alone.
Yeah. I mean, if I was really into Gears, I would probably do it for that.
Yeah,
and if you do it at GameStop, you get $5 off. Or you basically get a free reserve on Gears.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll switch my reserve from Amazon to GameStop.
We'll have to see.
I don't know. I think that they put the $20 off, or the $20 towards a future game on the Gears 3. On Amazon this week.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure I saw that and immediately pre-ordered it.
Yeah. Might keep me there.
$20 versus $5.
That's the thing. Like, GameSpot. Why do I keep doing that? GameStop can't compete like that. Like, they can't reduce their prices to that level. Not having a physical store to pay for.
Right.
Jake's, they gotta pay Jeff.
That's right. You're expensive,
I'll
Jack.
I'll be obsolete soon enough. Don't worry, guys.
Fozzie, you play anything else?
Fuck, dude. Not too much. Just a little more Dead Space, and then some more FIFA, of course. But Bulletstorm was a really big new thing that I've tried out. I really want to try out Crysis 2. Have you guys tried that out yet?
I did. We'll talk about it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Jeff, anything going on?
I'm almost done with Little Big Planet 2. I haven't played a decent amount of that when I got the chance to, just the story. It's getting kind of hard. And you know what? Like, I'm going to have to agree with Tony that there is some problems. There are problems with the controls, because there have been a couple times. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a couple times where I'm running and I go to do a jump and he doesn't jump. So that's kind of annoying. And then there's like the level I'm on right now. It's pretty tough. There's like this spinning wheel that's like you have to stand on it to get to the other side, mm-hmm. right? Like there's a pit and there's a spinning wheel in the middle. You have to jump onto it, and you have to and it's spinning in the opposite direction of where you're trying to run to the right.
Okay.
And you can't really move on it. It's like really hard. Like I just get stuck. Like I press the jump button, I keep pressing right, and like I'm just stuck in one spot. And then there's like just an electric pit below you where you fall into it and die. And it happened to me like 6-7 times in a row, and I just got really pissed.
I always get that feeling playing Little Big Planet. Like, I understand there are parts in platformers that are hard, but I feel like sometimes it's the game just not working that makes it hard.
Yeah, I guess. But other than that, I think it's really cleverly designed. Like, I like the level design. I enjoy the game a lot, but there's just a few instances where I'm like, God damn it. Otherwise, I really like it a lot. What else? Oh, I started God of War 1 last night.
Oh.
Or the night before, and I was playing it, out of God of War Collection. It was interesting, too, because I was a little tipsy. And I kept dozing off. Like, I fell asleep at, really early last night, midnight. But, in my chair playing the game, and I would wake up, an hour later and play it for another 20 minutes, and this went on to, 4 in the morning. I'd be playing, I'd doze off while playing it. And I'm stuck in it. Like, I can't figure out what I gotta do. But it's pretty cool, especially on easy, so I could deal with it.
Yeah, there's a part in towards the end of God of War 1 that I hated.
I'm guessing it has to do with that climbing part.
Yeah. I hated that.
I think a lot of people gave up at that point.
I powered through it, but it took me a long, long time to get through it. So.
Well, that's good to know.
A lot of memorization and a lot of luck.
I mean, it's okay. Like, I like it enough on easy that I could play it. I don't like killing, dozens upon dozens of enemies. Like, what I like about it are the boss battles and, just doing the puzzles and shit. But I'm at this part where there's this guy on the other end of a bridge, and the bridge is up, right? And he's like, I will not lower the bridge, because they're going to come get me. And I'm like, who's going to come get you? I've ran around this entire area like 6 fucking times. There's nobody here.
I know what part you're at. I don't remember how to solve it.
Is this the first one or second?
It's the first one.
First one.
Oh, shit.
I killed everybody. I've gone around in a circle like 6 times. There's one area off the left I found. These guys are shooting arrows at me, but I can't do anything to them because they're way, way far away. And I don't
know.
Don't you
have a bow and arrow?
Yeah, don't you have the magic yet?
I have, yeah, electricity and
So try killing them.
There is a secret, there's a door that you need to find to get the bow. I think you're at that part.
And near the beginning of the game?
Yeah, it's pretty close
to the beginning.
You just got to Athens, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
If anything, dude, just go to YouTube and just check out the walkthrough.
I don't want to do all this work. I'm just going to play the second one now.
Oh, my God. It's not
the second one's the better game anyway.
Yeah.
It seems like it. Like,
the second one is the best game in the series.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Like, really, like, the only thing I really like about the game, though, is, like, the visuals and the boss battles and shit like that. Not just, like, running around, like, killing dozens of enemies that bores the shit out of me.
Well, that's
me.
Kind of like God of War, you know? I mean...
I know. But if I was playing on normal, oh my god, I would be so pissed and fed up with it by this point.
Right.
I played the Bulletstorm. I tried playing Crysis 2. Couldn't get into a match.
That's nice.
So, am I the only one that was able to actually play Crysis 2?
I downloaded the demo. I did not play it.
Yeah.
I've heard rumors that it doesn't work, and EA is working on the problem. So, I was waiting for news on that before.
Why would they, how would they even... That just pisses me.
I just love this. On the heels of the NBA 2K, or NBA Elite, that didn't work, and they actually had to kill the game...
Yeah.
They have another demo that doesn't work. Great.
See, I mean, I didn't have any problems.
Really?
Yeah, I was able to get into a match. I didn't even know about these problems till I saw your Twitter conversation with Gigawatt today. I was able to get into a match. It's Call of Duty.
Great.
Like, really, it's a little bit faster paced. And you have, you know, like the crisis suit. But yeah, it's Call of Duty. Like, the experience points pop up when you kill somebody. There's a leveling system. There's perks. There's like, it's just generally, I would not want to play this over what, you know, the other multiplayer shooters I already have. I mean, it looks good, looks fantastic, but I don't know. Just it's Call of Duty, you know, gameplay.
It's kind of weird that they chose a multiplayer demo that doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm sure it worked when they were testing it.
I didn't think that, like you know, multiplayer was the big thing of Crysis, like the big selling point or whatever.
So it's yeah, sad. I mean, I did not play Crysis or the like little expansion they had, was it Warhead? I didn't play either one of those. I don't know a whole lot about Crysis, and this demo did not impress on me that I should play it. So I'll be skipping that one.
You can play Dragon Age 2 instead. Comes out the week before, I think.
I still got to finish Dragon Age 1.
Dragon.
Right, same here.
Damn you guys!
Anything
if I wear an RPG, it's supposed to own your life.
No.
Only you. So yeah, other than, you know, we talked about Bulletstorm, and just talked about Crysis 2, I played Dead Space 2.
Nice. Ooh. How far are you in that?
Really early, about an hour, hour and a half in.
Gotcha.
I set up my living room, shut all the lights out. So the only light that was coming from was like my cable box and the 360 on my TV. And that game has some awesome sound design. And
yeah.
It's fantastic. Like I jumped a few times as playing it because just like the original Dead Space, you know, there's these sections where the Necromorphs will attack you, but then it'll be kind of quiet for a while, and all you hear is like the background, the ambient noise, and it can get creepy. It can get really tense because you don't have a whole lot of ammo at the beginning. Actually, at the beginning, I don't want to spoil it, but you're kind of in a situation where you're kind of just running from the Necromorphs, so it's pretty cool.
I like Dead Space.
It's a and I compare like the first one kind of like to Alien, like the original Alien movie, and this one is, you know, kind of like Aliens. It's, you know, it takes place on like in a residential type area, at least at the beginning it does. There's actually still people there. It's more intense than the first one so far. Like, it's pretty cool. I would recommend it.
Now, I heard it's more action-oriented compared to, like, more horror that the first one was.
I mean, yeah, I'm only an hour and a half in at this point, but yeah, it starts out high octane, like.
Sure.
Yeah, you're killing things pretty early on, and
yeah.
It's yeah, there's a lot of fighting in this, a lot of but I would still say it's still a scary game. It's still a horror game at its core. The combat is top notch.
True that.
So
cool.
Jeff, did you want to talk about Two Worlds too?
I don't have anything to say about it. I just took it for tonight. I'm going to give it a fair shot and see how it is. I think it looks kind of cool based on the box. Not to be like a 10-year-old about it, like, ooh, the box. I've seen, like, I saw, like, some, like, early reviews of it and stuff, and, like, they said it was much improved. I never played the first one. I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but...
I did not play the first one either, Jeff, but I heard it was broken.
Yeah, no, I heard the first one was garbage, but, like, you know, a lot of the reviews, even though they're, like, sevens or eights, there's a few nines. They're, like, it's just much improved off better than the first one, so... And it's an RPG, so it might be fun. I don't know.
Yeah, a 7.5 score is much improved over like what I think. Like the first one got like a 4 from some outlet. So, yeah, that is much improved. It does look cool. I saw it at PAX East last year. I mean, that was a year ago almost, and it looked cool then. And I'm sure that they spent the last year, you know, trying to polish that up. So
yeah.
Yeah, and, like, it does have, like, I think 8-player online co-op and stuff, so you could go do shit with other people. Like, I don't know. It could be all right if anyone's playing.
Yeah, I think I saw a tweet from Sean from a
T-Bag. He's playing it, yeah.
But the tweet I think I saw said that he was getting ready to go play Team Deathmatch, and it was a picture of, like, his knight. So it was, like... It's like fantasy team deathmatch. Like, this is insane.
It's so sad.
I don't know. I'll let you guys know next week what I thought. Like, you know, I might play for 10 minutes and just give up, but we'll see.
Fucking Two Worlds. I mean, the first one, I heard it's horrible. So, but Sean does say that Two Worlds 2 is good. So,
well, these guys had a lot of time to work on the second one. The first
one. This is the same Sean who likes Alpha Protocol, right?
I knew Sean would be getting Two Worlds 2. Like, I just knew it.
Right. He always gets those type of games.
And it is kind of up. Like, this is definitely up his alley. Like, you know, swords, sorcery, dragons.
Yeah. And dude, I think we should just start making games and just totally cater towards Sean. It's like. Hey, Dragon, there you go. Yeah, exactly.
Thinking success.
He'll buy for other people. You must play this.
We're assured of at least 100 sales.
Seriously, Demon's Souls, I only know because of him. Like, he completely brought it to my attention. Like, he's the one that kept, you know, bringing it up. So.
Well, he was right.
Sean for loving these games, though. I mean, he's the reason I bought Demon's Souls. He's the reason I bought Infinite Undiscovery. Like, he actually talks these games up so much. That
yeah, he does.
They
play.
Sound good.
Exactly.
No, and like he doesn't exactly go. This is the best game ever. Like, I mean, he does get a little hyped up about games, but he's never like
that's
this
shit.
Is. Yeah, but he also admits that there are flaws in these games. Like,
what? That's awesome.
He does admit there are flaws, and sometimes, like, you know, for him, like, those flaws don't matter as much as long as, like, you know, there's cool concepts that he can play with, so. He at least has a justification for it.
If you guys are in a store, look at a copy of Two Worlds, like, look at the back of the box. It's the longest description I've seen on the back of a box in fucking years.
Totally.
Usually now it's, like, a really tiny paragraph.
Yeah.
This is like, it's like a full page of stuff. It's like, you can use spells and magic and blah, 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 blah.
I gotta check it out. Hold on.
There's, like, a wacky crafting system in it. And
is there?
They describe it all on the back of the box. It's like
It's only showing the front.
And the pictures on the back of the box, it looks a little like the graphics and shit look a little like Demon's Souls. I'm like, you know, this looks okay, but, you know, that's me looking at a box that,
right,
you know.
Yeah, well,
I have yet to ever be sold on a game by the box. Maybe it'll happen one day, but not yet.
I like the box.
You would.
I just want to give it a shot and see how it is, because I've heard pretty positive things about it.
So I look forward to that next week. But why don't we take a quick break, and we'll be back. We're gonna try out something new.
Oh, I don't like change. I don't like it one bit, goddammit.
But your mom loves it when we try something new. Let me just
say it. Okay, you need to calm down, young man.
Alright, so we are back. Yeah, instead of doing a full-on news segment this week, we're going to switch things up a bit, and all four of us have picked out a topic to discuss. And we're spending about like 5-10 minutes on it each one.
Fozzie, your topic can't be cheesy bread. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Cheese.
Yeah, we're not gonna talk about breaded cheese either.
Can I just say though, pita bread is the best fucking thing ever.
It's awesome being Persian, dude. That's all we have.
I would disagree. I would say ice cream is the best thing ever. But
well,
naan is much better than pita bread. I'm gonna throw that out there right now.
In terms of bread, you dip pita bread in some dressing and shit with a salad. Oh.
He's excited. I'm excited.
Naan is much better than pita bread.
Naan?
Naan.
No way. F that.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Naan is like an Indian bread.
Right,
nah, I've never had it.
I've had naan before. It is good.
I like Italian bread.
I like Italian bread, too.
That's about it.
You would. You're American.
America.
And I like raisin bread.
Dude, cinnamon bread with fucking whipped cream? Amazing.
I never had it with whipped cream. I gotta try that now.
Oh, dude. Awesome.
Fozzie always needs to get the bottle back from his mom first, though.
That's nice.
All right. Well, yeah, the topic of this... My topic is not bread, so... it's kicking to mind. Dead Space 2 released this week, and it was accompanied by a ad campaign. It's basically like, your mother is going to hate this game. The Dead Space 2 is an M-rated title, and I don't know if you have you guys seen the commercial?
Yes.
Yeah.
I haven't actually, but I'm aware of the campaign. Okay,
so it's. Like, if you see it, it's very clearly targeted at, like, you know, teen kids, like 15, 16-year-olds, who
people
are going...
don't buy their own games.
Exactly. Like, or people who would need their parent to buy them Dead Space 2. And it just seems like it's really irresponsible of EA to target this. Like, they know the controversy that the games are under as it is. And, you know, the ESRB stands by and they say, you know, we police ourselves. And then this goes out and EA, one of the biggest publishers in the industry, goes out and does this. It just kind of, you know, makes them lose a little bit of credibility, makes the whole industry lose a little bit of credibility.
What, like backtrack a little bit?
Yeah, like...
okay.
So
funny,
I don't know. It made me laugh.
So what do you guys think? Do you think that you know, this is bad for the industry, or?
Well, I mean, you look at EA. This isn't the first time they pulled this kind of thing. Like,
no,
they did all that stuff with Dante's Inferno last year.
This is the same PR company, actually.
I don't know what they're trying to do. Like. You'd figure
it got their attention, and they're doing a damn good job.
Because we're talking about an ad campaign, so
right. You know, I mean, it's going to boost their sales, I'm sure. But
see, my thing is that, like, when you look at the moms in that commercial, they look like they're late 50s, 60s. So when I look at
when I see that commercial, I think that these are like, you know, people that are like my mom's age, you know. It's not direct, they're not like 40-year-old like hot looking moms or something. These are like older moms, like maybe 18 plus type moms. Not someone like living at home with them, but your mom. Now, like, it's your
does
mom.
Does it show like a teenager sitting there and the mom walks in and like
No, I think it
just shows like the face of the mother as she's watching
gameplay.
Okay.
I think
there's one part where she's like, this game is an atrocity, and then it cuts to gameplay footage where like the narrator is saying like how gory it is and how like how terrible the game is, like just and how like you're gonna love it, but your mom's gonna hate it.
Well, and yeah, I mean, also you gotta look at it like this, like you said, the mom has to be there to approve it. So, I mean, if they haven't seen the commercial yet, that's kind of their fucking problem. I mean, it's called Dead Space. I mean, that's not gonna be a kid's game.
No, it's just.
Well, it's kind of like if like Budweiser made an ad just geared towards kids, you know, like it's similar to that.
Clown on it or something. Hey, kids, drink this.
Yeah, it's almost like the Joe Camel ads, like for
exactly.
It's a cartoon character who's obviously, you know, it's designed to be targeted to kids, but kids can't smoke cigarettes, but we're going to market to them anyway.
I think the difference here, though, is it's not cigarettes. It's
right. No, it's not. Yeah. But they also come out and, you know, there's this legislation that's out there, and I mean, it's still under review in the Supreme Court, and it hasn't come out yet. But I'm sure there's going to be more legislation like this in the future where they're trying to, you know, impose almost like a censorship on the games industry. And, you know, the games industry is always, their response is always, well, we police ourselves, and we do a good job of it.
Clearly not.
Well, that comes to selling them to minors. Now, I don't think it has to do with the advertising. And as long as it's legal to market a mature game to kids, they're allowed to do it. So,
well, that's just it. If you're going to say, I'm going to police myself, then we expect you to act responsibly. And the fact that it isn't illegal to do what they're doing is going to cause legislation to make it illegal.
Well,
because
then it's
simply not
story.
Acting responsible.
Yeah, I don't think that changes any of us or anyone else's, you know, access to mature games. You know what I mean? I don't think, or the content of games. You know, it would change the advertising.
Right, but if you know if there maybe. You know, it comes. You see how they market movies. I mean, we're big movie fans, and sometimes you see these films.
I heard you guys are like movie dudes or something.
Something like that. and you know, they'll target a certain demographic for a film, and sometimes you know they'll skew it a little younger. They're obviously trying to pull in that teen crowd, but when they get to this, it's like you're obviously targeting like kids. Yet on the other side, you're telling legislators that you're not targeting kids, and that there's nothing wrong with this, and that you're doing the job yourself. I mean, yeah, it's not going to affect how we get our games.
I mean,
it may affect how games are made. Like,
let's be honest, though, like. What, you know, who do you think mature games appeal to most? To me, I don't care what the game is rated. I'll play Little Big Planet, I'll play whatever.
Well,
but when you're that age, you're like, oh, it's mature, you know, I have to get my mom to come in and buy it. And I think it's a kind of savvy of EA to do. Maybe I'm being weird about it, but...
Well, here's what happens. Legislation passes that makes it illegal to sell games to people who are under 18. Like mature level games, we'll say. If a company like GameStop does that, they'll be fined. These fines will cause the prices of games to go up and reduce the ability of companies to make games and increase the price and reduce our ability to buy them.
Or
that's where it becomes an issue for us.
I doubt it would have that big of an impact. I mean, it's
well,
already...
You don't know. That's the problem. You don't know what will happen. You can't predict the future, and... and were you to change something like that so dramatically, there could be lots of unintended consequences like that sort of thing.
Or like, I mean, you're talking about price fluctuation, but what happens in the event that, like, we can no longer, you know, target kids for these games, but we're not going to make those types of games anymore.
Right. We're going to. The kids are the market they're looking for, right?
Right, but I mean, if Jeff,
that's where all the sales are.
Yeah, if that's where your sales are coming from, and then all of a sudden there's legislation put into place where kids can't buy these games, or, like, I mean, granted, right now they can't walk into your store. Like, you would card them, right? Like,
yeah, already, look, if I sold a game to a minor, like an M-rated game, I could get fired for that. So there's already incentive for me not to do that. Like, you know, I'll have the parent standing 10 feet away. I'll say, you know, you have to come up to the counter, and I'll sit there and I'll tell them, like, look at the back of the box here, and, you know, this is rated, you know, M for blood, violence, language, or whatever.
Right, but then, let's say it turns around and, like, the law that California had in place wanted to basically make these things like mature rated games be handled like X rated movie titles. So you remember walking into a video store when you were a kid and they had like that
the dirty little room.
Back room.
Yeah, the little room for
and, like, yeah, so it was like that was where, like, you know, it's like you always try to, like, sneak a peek in there. Like,
West Coast Video, man.
Yeah, West Coast Video. My dad would disappear back there.
I would disappear back there. Like, I'm sneaking in.
But yeah, like, it that was something, you know, that was proposed in that California law, was that, like, games would have to be handled like that. And if they're handled like that, if they're not readily available for people to see when they walk into a store, don't you think sales would drop?
I don't picture that happening. I don't see that happening. If it did happen like that, I don't necessarily think it would hurt sales. I mean, maybe I'm being naive about it, but
I think anything that restricts your ability to have immediate access to something will reduce sales. If you can't walk in and just see it, I think that reduces your sales by a good 20%. Like, how many times have you gone to GameStop and just bought something? I know I have.
Look, they don't,
I know
they
don't I can't have, go in if I don't want to buy anything because I know I'll probably come out with something.
They don't have porn in video stores at all now, and it's still one of the top industries that they have.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't see the legislation happening because there's way bigger fish to fry. I mean, like, stuff like
there
that are, is
there's,
on the
there's
back.
There's a lot of legislation pending on the result of this Supreme Court case.
Yeah,
like,
I
if it
don't...
goes against the ESA, if California actually wins, you're going to see a lot of other states immediately passing legislation, like, within a few weeks. Because they already have the laws written. They're just waiting for the Supreme Court to pass the law, to approve the law.
I don't think this ad campaign, though, will have an effect on it. I mean...
Well, it just seems irresponsible.
It's irresponsible, but it's also great marketing in a way, I think. I mean, maybe I'm crazy, but I think it's good marketing.
I think it's fantastic marketing. I think it's terrible in regards to EA's future. I think it works really well in the short term. It's really bad in the long run because it affects public perception with this sort of thing. Like, people still remember, even though it was completely false, the whole Mass Effect sex simulator thing. Like, that kind of stuff sticks around forever.
These ads that I've seen, or I haven't seen them, but I've seen, like, banners for them on websites and stuff. I haven't seen them on TV. Are they on TV?
They are on TV, yes.
Yeah. I mean,
and it doesn't even take it for it to actually be on national TV. A news station gets a hold of that. They're going to be local. They're going to run a story on that. I mean, it's newsworthy.
Yeah, and I mean,
that's the reason why they did it.
Yeah, they want to get on. They want to get on the news. They want people talking about it, and they want kids to, like, hear Dead Space 2. That's a game that, like, you know, that's a game. Yeah, my mom ain't gonna like that shit. I want to get a hold of that. Like,
yeah.
it's like Mortal Kombat back in the when that came out. I don't know. So
they're still gonna need their mommy to buy it, and
right.
You know. The hip moms that see it, they're like, oh, I'm a hip mom. I let my fucking kids play anything.
Ew.
I don't know. I think it's an interesting like point here, but I just don't see it influencing things too much. I don't know. Maybe I'm.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next topic. Tony, what's yours?
I had a very interesting discussion with Sean of Teabag Radio about
interesting
original IPs and buying those over more well-known, well-produced series. Basically, I feel like it's not our position as gamers to fund companies' original IP projects unless they're really good. Like, I don't go out and buy games on pure speculation that this might be a great game, and even if it's not, they can use my money in the future to build better games. I feel like as consumers, we need to like to hold out and wait for confirmation that this game is something that's worth spending my money on, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And all of you just died.
No.
No, I'm thinking here. You know, you hear the gears turning in my head?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let me approach, because like, I factually followed your little Twitter conversation that you guys had. Part of his argument was, like, we're talking about Homefront. This is how it all kind of came out. And you kind of said Homefront doesn't look all that interesting to you, and that's fine. As a consumer,
garbage.
It should look good. I've actually heard good things about the game from people who have played it.
Calm down, Jeffrey. Calm down.
But, people have played it now?
The first few actual hands-on experiences were.
Yeah, but hands-on are never judgmental.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, well, I mean, Anthony Gallegos, IGN, he runs Rebel FM, his own podcast, and I mean, he had good things to say about it, and he had bad things to say about it. Like,
yeah, and then comes the review, and it's a 6.5.
All right, but that's kind of where
Future Jeffrey is never wrong.
That's kind of where Sean was, coming from, though, is, why wouldn't you buy a game like Mag over a game like Medal of Honor? Like, Mag is something new and interesting, and it's a new IP. It's something new. One of our biggest complaints as gamers is we want something new. Yet historically, we support the things that we know. Like, every year Call of Duty comes out, and every year it gets more and more successful.
Yeah,
right. But for one, it's not the gamers that drive that. I mean, the people that play Call of Duty is everybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
We do give other games a shot. If I hear a new game come out and gets a great review, I'm going to get it. You know.
But in this case, the argument was, Tony was, he was saying about Homefront being shit and that he thinks it's going to be shit. Sean came out and said, why wouldn't you want to support something new and interesting, over something like Medal of Honor, which is the same old shit. And really, like, you look at it, like, Medal of Honor was mediocre. Like, you had fun with it, right, Tony?
Right, but I do regret buying it. Let me throw that out there.
Right.
And so, I mean, I can see his argument there. It's like, why would you put money out for something that was mediocre when there is something out there that was decent?
Right.
And
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I get where Sean is coming from. Like, I agree with him that it's good to try out new shit once in a while. And I would rather see new IPs get more love than they do. But at the same time, I agree with Tony completely that it's not our responsibility to make sure that games are, if a game fails on when it releases, it's not my fault. I'm one fucking vote. Whether I buy it or I don't, it doesn't matter, you know what I mean? So, and I don't put any responsibility. If a great game comes out and people don't buy it, that's too bad, but at least the game's out there for you to play if you want to play it.
Yeah, exactly, and it could even pick up like a cult following in the future.
Like Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah, exactly. And I think new IPs really gain a lot from demos. Like I think that when you look at it, if you're able to put a demo out there and you're brand new, no one's really heard about you, and the demo is phenomenal, that's a great way to get more hits like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean,
like Enslaved, for example, had a really good demo, which is one of the reasons I went and bought that one. But I have no problem buying a new IP if it's good, but I feel like so many of these new IPs are crappy. Yeah. Remember Kane and Lynch? It was a new IP at one point, and then people bought it. It wasn't a great game. It was mediocre, and then it got a sequel that was absolutely terrible. So, I mean, investing in the future doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get a good result.
I think Sean extrapolated an argument of what you said, because all you're saying is that game looks like garbage, not that, oh, I don't try new IPs or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, and you just turned that into, well, you should support that instead of Call of Duty or whatever. And it's,
yeah, we'll support what's good.
Right, exactly. If your new IP is worth playing, I will play it. I will buy it. I have nothing, you know, Bayonetta, great game, played it, bought it, fantastic. But if your IP sucks, Alpha Protocol...
No.
You shouldn't be spending money on supporting games like Alpha Protocol. You want them to die.
It's Sega.
but I can also see where he's like, you know, a game like Mag, which was
Mag good. Is good. It's cool. I've played it.
Mag's a good game. But when you look at that, and then you look at, like, what Medal of Honor sold, and that's a huge disparity. And one is a good game, and one's a shitty game. Like... Not shitty, but mediocre.
But you guys
that's not on us, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You guys would never support a developer, though, no matter what. Like, let's just say there was a good Final Fantasy, and then the next one came out, and it was shit. And then you knew it was shit, but you still believed in that publisher that, you know, to give them more money to make a better one in the future.
No, I'm buying the product. Potential. It's not about potential. If you want me to buy your product, make a product worth buying. If the product you make isn't worth buying, why should I buy it? Why should I waste my money? I'm not sitting on an infinite pile of money here to buy games with. You know?
That's a good point.
Basically, I'm in the market of making me happy, so you know, if I'm interested in a game, I'll buy it.
You selfish pricks.
As much as I'd feel bad for a studio getting shut down or whatever, it really doesn't come down on you, man. We don't dictate what is popular or not. It's not the gamers that dictate that. It's the people that are casual gamers. That's the
thing. Yeah, that's true. Because even if you swayed your vote, that's only about like 4,000 more copies they'll probably sell.
Yeah,
you know?
That's it. I mean, it won't
make a big dent. In the end, yeah, it does come down to the casual gamer, because that's the ones that buy all that shit, but...
The other thing about games like Mag and, like, Homefront, they're not getting into a new market. Like, it's not like they're finding a niche and saying, look at my new IP in this sort of game that you've never seen before.
Well, yeah. Mag is like, something original, a little bit.
Mag is Battlefield with more players.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, whatever.
I mean, which is fine, but I don't know that it's all that different from actually going out and playing Battlefield.
Yeah, but that's the thing that makes it so much different, is that it is a massive action game. It's fucking 120 people on a battlefield.
Yeah, it's like a real
There's no way to compare that to Battlefield, where it was like 8-on-8 at most.
I don't know. I never got up to the level, and that was one of my problems with Mag, was you needed to put so much time into that to get to the actual big matches.
Yeah.
So, like, early on, you can play, like, I think it was, like, 64-man matches, 32-on-32.
Okay.
And even there, I didn't feel that there was that many, that it was that different from, like, Battlefield.
Yeah, I heard that.
You would
have
to design maps in a really, really specific way to get the sense of scale of everything that was going on.
Right.
And I think it would be hard to play.
Well, I think that the concept is good, but I think they just may execute it wrong. Like, how sweet would that be, like, if the battles were only, like, 5 to 6 minutes long and it's, like, fucking D-Day or something, all the fucking U-boats are coming, and then you've got 120 Germans on the other side, you know? I mean... I think that maybe the maps that
you know, I mean...
That sounds... What you're talking about sounds like Battlefield 1942, but...
Yeah, but with 120 people, I mean, that's a lot of fucking shit going left and right to you. But I'm sure that that comes down to hardware capabilities and everything. I mean, to simulate, you know, 240 people, I mean, you would have to have a phenomenal server, and, like, no one would have to be lagging whatsoever, you know?
Right, if that was on Xbox, I'd be on it, man, but...
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, though, you got to figure... At what point are you just adding people extraneously because you're not even going to notice the extra people are there?
Yeah, you don't really do. Like, everyone's just kind of doing their own thing.
The only...
If you're in an 8-8 game, you're fighting constantly. Like, if there's no like gap when you kill everyone and you just can't find anybody, the enemy immediately respawns their back. So it's kind of like, what difference does it make if it's 8-8 or 16-16 or...
I hear
500
that.
On 500. At some point, the extra people just don't matter.
Well, I don't think they ever will, but it's just, I think it'd be cool to see that many people, like holy shit, there's a lot of people fighting on our side, you know, and just to see it, you know, through, I don't know.
I like the idea of it, and I liked what I played of Mag.
Yeah, it was fun.
I liked it more than Battlefield, to be honest, but...
Oh, Battlefield's 10 times better, but I mean, I do...
totally dismissed you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Like, I liked it. I don't know, Jeff.
I didn't enjoy the shooting in Mag as much as I did Battlefield, but I also don't enjoy playing shooters on the PS3 as much as I do on 360.
Yeah, I don't. Neither do I. Give me my Little Big Planet, and that's all I need on my PS3. Give me that and, like, Shadow Colossus. And
Uncharted.
That's nice. Fine. It's a $400 Blu-ray player. Yay!
All right. I would just like to point out that I did buy Mag, and I also bought Hold on. So,
I played Mag. I didn't buy it. I didn't enjoy it. Sorry.
I'd start with 29.
Sorry, Sean. I gave it a shot. I have Demon Souls right here, though, in your honor. Yeah. So.
That was a new IP.
Yeah, there you go. I bought a new IP.
It was good,
right here.
And it was very good.
And you bought Enslaved.
And you know what? Demon Souls Enslaved. Was kind of a hit.
Yeah,
I bought
even though I've never sold
I bought Brutal Legend. That was a new IP.
That was a shitty new IP.
Yeah, why'd you do that?
You know what? I enjoyed Brutal Legend. I didn't hate it.
That was a shit tactical one. Oh my god, it was okay. And then like the RTS part of it, fuck my life. That was
terrible. I like the story. I like the style. I like the music. It was
I like that. I liked all the parts that weren't the game.
Yeah,
right. As a game, probably a failure, but.
So, you bought a game and you say it's not a failure yet.
I enjoyed it, though. It was an experience that I liked. I mean, I didn't enjoy the actual game parts of it, but the other stuff was good. That was made it a worthwhile experience.
Got it, Napo.
Sorry. What do you want from me?
Let's move on to Fozzie's category. This topic.
Okay. Let's see. I was thinking of a couple ones, but I'll go with this one. I just want to – I put this out on Twitter earlier today about, you know, where people primarily – they play portable gaming because we're getting older. We don't have time. Like, you know, back in the day when you're sitting on the bus for elementary school and middle school, those are those 15, 20 minutes where you can get some, you know, serious gaming in. So, I mean, that at that point, it's fine. But now when you look back at it, I drive to work. I mean – and then when I'm home, I don't have much time to game, and if I do, it's going to be on my Xbox. So I was wondering, I was curious about how other people do it, and 99% of them basically said that they do it, you know, from their bed, like right before they're about to pass out or something. But I mean, in all honesty, can you justify putting $250 down per, you know, console, and God knows how much the PSP2 is going to be. I mean, it looks sweet. And this is what happens. This is what happens every fucking release day for me, for portable games, is that I tell myself I'm not going to buy one, then I get overhyped for it, then I, like, just make that spontaneous, like, purchase, and then I regret it, because after, like, 3 weeks, I do not play it anymore. And that's kind of, like, how I feel like with the PSP2 so far. I do like that rear touchscreen part to it. I think that's pretty sweet, you know? But is it going to be gimmicky? And then the dual analog sticks is actually a nice bonus, too. But, again,
there's nothing that sets it apart from my PS3. It says it's got the same graphics as PS3, so why am I not just playing my PS3? You know?
And the other thing is they're throwing that price point out there where it might actually be more expensive than a PS3.
Yes, exactly. And so, like, you're not getting much of it. Now, I know I told myself I wouldn't do this, but I'm thinking about getting a 3DS because this is actually something that I can take, like, to my friend's house, and they'll be amazed by it. This is something that I think everyone will enjoy, is the fact that this is so cool. It's 3D without the glasses. This is something that I cannot get from my current consoles right now. I mean, I could, but not with the TV that I have. So, anyways, all right, Jeff, we're talking about consoles and why I don't know how people can justify spending them. Anyways, I just feel that, you know, we're spending $250 like per platform. What do you guys think? Are you guys looking forward to any of them?
I won't be buying either of them. I'm so invested in my consoles.
Yeah.
I have the games that I want to buy are all on console. It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, at night before I go to bed, I have other things to do in my bed other than playing, you know.
Oh.
PS3.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
Giggity.
I mean, as far as the 3DS goes, I have no interest until they release a game that I actually want to play on it. And right now, the launch titles for it, I have no interest in. So
yeah.
The PS, whatever it is, the PSP2, the NGP, whatever the hell they're calling
NGP?
It. It seems cool. Like the tech specs are awesome on it, but there's no price point on it. And until there's a price point on it, like they don't have my interest.
Right.
If they come out and say it's $400, like, no go. I have a PSP Go. I have a PSP 3000. Like, I play it in my cars. I like when I'm on my lunch break, or, you know, I play it when I'm waiting for my kids to get done, like, their dance class or their guitar lesson. Like, so I put some use into my games, my handhelds, but I generally don't play it at home. I don't play it in bed. I don't play it on the toilet. Like,
right.
If I'm home, I'm playing my home console. So,
yeah, and I'm
that's what. Yeah,
like I don't.
I
know
think anywhere, there are some people throwing some weird price points out for this thing too. Like $199.
No.
Well, I heard. I know which one you're talking about. Right, $199 plus like a monthly data plan fee.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually there's potential there. So if they make you sign up for a 2-year contract on something, and so they're pulling in $20-$30, you know, every month from you.
Right.
That's doable. Like, yeah. They could sell it at, you know, like an iPhone type price. I don't know. But I like what it debuted on GameSpot or GameStop's. It originally showed up on their website as $999.
I'm sure that was a mistake.
Well, yeah,
you know why they do that?
It was a play.
They do that because it's a play, exactly.
Well, they do that like they did that with 3DS too. Nobody noticed. It's just so that way no one, because they don't know the price. That's it. That's all they're saying, basically.
Right.
No one's going to pay $999 for the damn thing.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah, nobody knows what the price of that thing is going to be at.
So.
I don't know, but as far as tech-wise, I'm more interested in the PSP2 NGP, whatever the hell it's called.
Is this 3DS versus PSP2, or, like, what are we talking about, guys?
I'm talking about, like, how we can justify us being older now. We don't have the time for portable gaming yet.
Yes.
People are.
Ozzy's wrists have weakened over time. He can no longer hold up.
I don't prefer. I don't prefer portable gaming either. I don't like it that much.
But
anyway,
I know, but I mean, you know, back in the day, I had a Game Boy Color, and I wasn't even that much into gaming all that much. But I'm just saying that people are lining up for both these things. I mean, they don't even. There's nothing there really to entice you besides old games, you know. I mean, and when you look at even PS3's lineup. Oh my god, you got Uncharted, you got Killzone. But in the end, if you play when most of us play portable games, we play them at home, then just fucking play your PS3 and exactly. play those games, you know? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to get excited for games that I feel you could have played in the past, you know? It, like Chris was saying, is that show me something that's original and is a console buyer or portable gaming console.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah. Well, what's kind of funny about my PSP Go is like, I mean, they've released that new God of War game I think it was in November for the PSP, and I haven't bought a new PSP game in a while. What I use it for is playing PS1 games.
Yeah,
it's a portable PS1 player.
Yeah. Like, if you, the console experience, you don't want that on a handheld, I don't think. I think you want something different.
Right.
No, and
either it's old school, it's old school, or something completely that you couldn't get on the console, you know?
Yeah, and I don't want to play a PS1 game on my 60-inch TV, because it looks like garbage.
Yeah.
But it looks great on a 3-inch PSP screen.
Yeah. I think Nintendo understands that. I don't think Sony understands that at all.
Yeah, Sony's... I mean, they think they're doing it again. They're just saying, look at how powerful the system is. Look, it's your PS3 on the road again.
And it's small. Yeah. It's like, dude, I don't care. I'd rather play the console.
But it's got touchscreen in the back.
But I do like the potential to be able to map the R2 and L2 buttons
to that
touch-sensitive back. Because it only has the one button on the top. So it's like R1 and L1. But then you could actually map the other.
Why would they do that? I didn't even notice that.
It's not like they could use it for other things too. Like you could make an actual game that uses the back screen for something. But for like you could do PS2 emulation on it and map the two buttons on there.
You're saying it only has one shoulder button?
It has the right shoulder button and the left shoulder button, just like the regular PSP.
Oh, but you could do... Okay.
And you could do the second shoulder, like the trigger button...
Oh, okay.
...on the bottom by mapping it to the touch sensitive bottom.
Which is actually kind of
cool. I mean, the tech of the PSP2, or whatever the hell it's called, is pretty cool. But...
Is it sad that I'm still interested in 3DS more?
No, that doesn't surprise me at all.
And I'm like, I don't like 3D either normally, but I'm like, oh, that's gonna be cool.
Well, I mean, but you like the games that Nintendo puts out.
Yeah, and plus it has Resident Evil announced.
Right.
They announced
remapping Sony triggers. Why can't they just fix the DualShock? I hate those triggers.
Right.
Yeah, that DualShock 3 is terrible.
Have you guys seen there's a called a Pro Wireless Controller for PS3, and it's exactly like an Xbox. It's awesome looking, man.
Really?
It's only 50 bucks too, or like 40 bucks, and it's wireless.
I might have to look into that, because I would like to play like Killzone or something with a controller that doesn't suck.
It looks exactly like a 360 controller.
And I kind of prefer like the way the thumbsticks are on the 360, where...
Everyone does. The fucking PS3 controller sucks. I'm sorry. PlayStation controller sucks. I'm going to put it out there right now.
I used to watch DVDs on my PS3. I don't anymore. Because whenever I was using my controller, whenever I put it down, the triggers have no trigger guard.
Yes.
So it would like start skipping scenes. I'm like, what the hell is going on? It was just because I put my controller down.
That's why I bought a
remote.
Yeah.
I think most of my complaints could be solved by the $20 remote that I could
buy. Yeah, that remote's really good, too. Except I spilled soda on it, and now some of the buttons stick. Alright, so Jeff, what's your topic?
My topic is, how long is it till we'll be like 21st century digital boys? Where everything's digital, and fucking, you don't need a hard drive, you don't need the hardware, everything's cloud-based.
I would like to tell you that it's now.
You think it's now?
No, I don't think it's
now. But I mean, it exists now, right? But when is it going to be the standard?
I think first we need... Everyone needs to have access to high-speed internet. and currently it's too expensive for too much of the United States population, for one. I don't know. I'm not really in tune with how, like, overseas, like, in Japan, how many people are hooked up to high-speed internet.
Japan,
but here, it's
nuts.
Not that much.
Yeah.
Most of the country is not connected to high-speed internet. And until you do that, the whole cloud concept is difficult to replace.
But that was one of the things that our president wanted to do, is get broadband everywhere. And, of course, he's a socialist and a communist. But that's getting sidetracked, right?
Hey-o.
I'm just...
I'm completely in favor of everyone having access to broadband internet, but until that happens, the whole conversation is more of a moot point. Or, you know, technology may even skip the discussion. Like, it may just be that satellite access to the internet becomes more preferable than wired access at some point.
Yeah, I mean...
advances, so... I mean, building this whole network may be an entire waste of time. But until it exists, it's hard to...
before we go any further on this, I just want to say, like, my view on this is, like, things like this, like, people are like, no, it's not going to happen, no, it's not going to happen, and it's really slow building, and then within, like, 2 years, nobody owns a CD anymore.
Exactly.
Nobody owns a boombox. All of a sudden, it's iPods. It's like...
Right, but the things
comes
you're
out
talking
the gate,
about are
it.
All physical items. Like, you can go buy a DVD somewhere. You can't automatically have access to high-speed internet. Like,
you can buy an iPod anywhere.
Well,
what
he's trying to say is that, like, with time comes change. Like, before we all had 56K. Once we all had cable, then it became feasible for everyone to just download music because it only took 5 seconds. The bottom line is it comes down to convenience. Right now, it's not convenient for me to download all these games onto my hard drive because, first off, we don't have the hard drive power for all that, for all the games that we want. Yeah. Secondly, it comes down to high-speed internet, like you were saying. But it might not be, you know, in 2 years, but maybe 5 years from now, that by the next console when it's really gearing up and everything, I think that we're going to see just cloud gaming, and everyone's just like, oh, but I want my hard copies and everything like that, my physical copies, but they'll get over it.
I hate those people.
They'll get over it because they're going just like everyone got over having CDs. I mean, who the hell has CDs? I mean, I get CDs every now and then, too. I like it,
but,
have CDs. I mean, it's just that now it's completely acceptable to just buy everything off iTunes and Amazon Music, you know? I mean, it's not weird. It's just like this isn't going to be weird either, I don't think, in a near, like, 2-3 years. Once we get that really, really high-speed internet where we could download movies in 5 seconds or something, yeah, there's going to be no need to go to the store anymore.
Go, Chris, go.
Okay. I'm just going to say that, like, if the option were available for me to download everything, I would. I bought one hard copy. I bought about 15 PC games last year. I bought one game that came in a box. And if I had that option on, you know, the 360, the PS3, the PSP, I would do that. Like, I will not buy a PSP game unless it is available digitally. And if I could get all my games on PS3 or 360 digitally, I'd do that too.
Yeah.
See,
I
like my discs and I like my cases, but when you think about it, it's just fucking clutter, man.
It's
if
junk.
You don't have to have
it.
You don't
unless
have to have
you're
a full
collecting
shelf
it,
full of games.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can have it all in space. I don't get that. I'd rather have it not in my apartment. That's fucking cool.
It's one of the things I like about, like, Steam or Direct2Drive. Like, if you want a game and you have it, you can just download it and get it.
Yes.
If you delete it, that's fine. You know what you want to do? You just download it again.
I know. That's the
thing. Yeah. Well, that's what
games I've lost or, like, left at friends' houses, never seen again. You don't do that. You just, I delete it. Oh, well,
there's
they
no
still
disc
know
to
I
get
bought
scratched.
It, so here
oh,
it is.
But you don't own it.
You do own it, though.
I don't care. Yeah, I do, exactly. I could play it whenever I want. I could delete it, re-download
yeah,
it. Doesn't
yeah,
matter.
That's the argument, right, Jeff? Is people,
yeah.
Like, you don't own it. Like, well,
but like, yeah, they're going to figure out some way for us to own it. I mean, it's Sony or Microsoft. They're not going anywhere anytime soon.
I don't care if I own it or not. If I could play it when I want to play it, I don't give a shit.
Well, they're saying that, like, in the future consoles, like, what's going to happen to all these games that we've bought, you know?
Yeah.
They're going to end up in a landfill.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see, like, next console generation, I think it's going to be disc-based, but I would not be surprised if the next consoles after that are just, there's no discs. There's
well,
no
how do you know the next consoles are going to be, well, yeah.
I think they will be.
I just want to throw this out here. Did you guys notice that the PS3 version of Mass Effect 2?
Is digital.
They released a digital version right alongside the physical.
Which I think is, I think it's awesome, don't get me wrong, but I also think it's completely ridiculous that on... Like Little Big Planet 2 just released, one of the biggest Sony releases of, you know, the last 6 months, and you have to go to a store to buy it. And
that's a game.
But release it on both. Like, you have the network. It's your network.
Yeah.
It's the PlayStation network.
That's true.
Release your games on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that all this is new, though. I mean, when you look at it, the PS3 is really one of the only systems that can do this because you have that massive 320 fucking gigabyte hard drive. Nowhere are you going to spend that all on game saves and demos, you know? You've got room to buy these 15 gigabyte games, and it's not really going to make that much of a dent on there. But it's still new. I mean, when you look at the next generation of hard drives, it's probably going to be, what, like 2 terabytes, maybe 1 terabyte worth of hard drive for the PS4.
Computers are already there.
Yeah, they're already there. So, I mean, they're going to keep up with computers, you know? So, I mean, I think that, yeah, you can be looking at 1 terabyte hard drive for a PS4 or Xbox 720 or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And then by then, they're probably going to have side-by-side download, just like you're saying, you know? They'll probably never discontinue hard copies for another 10, 15 years, but they'll have that side-by-side, you know?
Yeah.
If you have a T3 line or something, you could download in 10 minutes, you're stoked.
I think Sony missed a big opportunity yesterday, I guess, when they announced the PSP2 to kind of push the industry forward. You know, they were launching a new piece of hardware, not a refined piece of hardware.
Yeah.
They were launching a completely new piece of hardware, and instead of going digital only for that piece of hardware, they turned around and went, we're going to introduce a new format, and they're going to release games on like a high capacity flash system instead of
digital. I didn't know that. I gotcha. I thought it was straight digital.
You might still be able to get stuff digitally, but they're also doing, you know, physical media for this new handheld, and I think they missed out on a big opportunity to kind of push the industry in that
direction. Yeah, but that would be a huge risk, though, because, like you said, there's so many of those people that are still just holding on to those physical copies, and they refuse to change their ways.
But I mean, look at the PSP sales. Look at the PSP game sales. They're garbage. So just go and like say, this is our format, and like our format is going to be digital for this from the get go. Like, you have a secure system, which, I mean, right now the PS3 not so secure. You shore that up. You shore up your network for this new PSP, and instead they kind of copped out.
I think that if they do it so that they release everything digitally that you could get physical copy wise too, then I still think that's an improvement. It's getting there. It's not going to be something that's going to happen tomorrow. The difference between a song file size and a game file size is much more significant.
Yeah, I think Tony has a good point that most people don't have good internet, like, or don't they all have internet at all.
Might take the downloads forever. Sure. Exactly. I mean, 1 gigabyte for me takes a couple hours. So, I mean, is it really all that my time to stand here and watch it, or can I just drive 5 minutes to go to the store? Now, if I could download a full game in 10, 15 minutes, that's a completely different story. I'll stay home. I'll wait for that fucking game. I'll watch, like, an episode of South Park or something.
I must have, like, goddamn gargantuan-sized internet speed.
Yeah, I don't have that problem either.
Because I downloaded both the Crysis 2 demo, which was 1.8 gigs, and the Bulletstorm demo, and it took, like, 10 minutes.
Wow. Well, you also have to remember, though, Chris, we're both in major cities.
Okay.
Like,
Fozzie's in Jackson.
Not that Fozzie lives in the sticks.
But, oh my, like,
I mean, you got to figure we live in two of the top five media markets in the country. It's
right, right.
I mean, this is weird.
You guys might have. You need to calm down there, okay? Don't get so smudge on me, young man. I mean, Jeff lives in Chicago.
I mean, everything here is going to be networked that much higher. There's just a higher concentration of people here, and a higher concentration of really.
I refuse to believe that.
Just the way
how about,
it is.
How about Jeff, right. though? Look at Jeff. He lives in Chicago. Well, is your speeds fast?
Yeah. Lightning fast. 23 megabits per second, man.
You mean megabytes?
Bits. Bytes, bits, whatever.
Whatever. You guys fucking all suck.
Yeah, I'm running on 54
okay.
right now.
Well, God bless you guys for being in your luxury fucking towns. But guess what? I live in Jacksonville where I'm lucky to download a megabyte a second.
Yep.
So like, that's what I'm saying. Like, until the entire country has the same access that Jeff and Chris and I have.
Yeah, for you guys, cloud gaming is a possibility. And that's just saying now. I mean, imagine 2 years from now when Microsoft decides to release their successor. I don't know if that will... I mean, it might not be exclusively digital, but they might definitely open the possibility of having it so that it's not only digital, but you can get your hard copies too. See what I'm saying?
They're actually pushing their store, their Games On Demand store, I think is actually much better than what Sony has done with their PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
There's more games, there are newer games on there, and I mean, granted, you're probably not going to go download Alan Wake, Foz, because it would take you until next Christmas to do it.
Exactly.
But you could if you wanted to.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you're totally right, and I don't know. We'll see.
I think there'll be both for a while, and then within 1 year, all of a sudden, like, the hard copy sales will just die off, the stores will die, and it'll be over.
But, I mean, still, that's tough, though, because maybe there's a way where, like, the store you can, I don't know, like, get a pre-upload. I have no idea. Because, like you're saying, what if there's people that exclusively just don't really use the internet all that much and they just want to play their games? So they're completely shafted out of the whole gaming market?
I just think it'll change, man. It's just like, look at music. It's the same thing as music. I know I understand it's bigger size, like file sizes.
I wonder as the networks get better, Jeff, if, you know how like with the Amazon, with the Kindle, or with the Nook, like, you don't actually have to have, like, you don't actually have to be connected to the internet with those things. Like, it's free. Like, the 3G is free on that, so you just hook right in and it goes.
Hmm.
Like, I wonder if as these networks get better, if, you know, these systems will just be, it'll just be kind of be an automatic connection to the network.
I think internet technology is going to get nothing but simpler and simpler. It's just going to be everywhere in your face. And so, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was just like everywhere you could get it, no matter what, if you had money or not.
So, like, you might have to pay, like, you know, your $60 a month or whatever to play Xbox Live, but there would be something in there where you could just, like, the system is always connected to Microsoft in some fashion due to, you know, a 3G or a 4G connection that Microsoft is taking care of.
Your fucking breakfast cereal is going to be like that.
What?
It's gonna be a 3G or 4G.
There's going to be fucking live ads running across the side of your bowl. Like, come on, I guarantee you.
Everybody's going to have to have
Dude, it's going to be like Fifth Element. What are you talking about? It's going to be fucking epic.
We're all going to live in small apartments?
Yeah, you order Chinese, and then the fucking Chinese guy just comes right to your window. It's going to be glorious.
As long as there's chicks walking around in like rubber band suits. Like.
Oh, I can't wait for rubber band suits. It's gonna be amazing.
It's like, all right, so that's some good discussion there. Why don't we do some listener mail?
All right. Should we start with the ones that you guys have? I have a few. Also, you might want to get on the P-Sane Twitter feed. Ooh. I know if you went that way, too.
I did not get any, but...
Yeah, I don't personally have any myself.
I have a quick
but there are there are some way. Questions on the P-Sane.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Looking at our Twitter feed, Jayla asks, if you had to decide on one, PSP 2 or 3DS?
3DS, just because of the 3D. PSP 2 is a PS3.
Jeff?
3DS.
Because of Nintendo?
I've been interested in it for a long time. Fuck PSP. Anything PSP is
garbage. Whoa. Greg Miller will kill you in your sleep.
I like my PSP, and I'm going to go PSP 2 on this one.
Oh my god, you're so ridiculous.
Yeah, I had a DS, and I got bored. I kind of wish I'd gotten a PSP.
It's so 3D, though, people.
Oh, fuck
you just 3D. Haven't seen it.
I look at 3D, and I get a headache.
3D is amazing. Yeah, that's... You're all motherfuckers. I swear to God.
Yeah, because of your mother.
And Jeff, stop eating over there. I hear you.
I know you guys.
All right. Sharpshot Apollo asked, first the DS was too fat. Is the DS too light now, so they are adding three more? Discuss.
That's what Muncio says. Yes, sure. Yes, and yes.
Now it's just a fat one. Giant, isn't it? It's bigger than the light.
Is it as big as the XL?
No, it's not that big. That's so it's not it's not extra large.
That's
you saw it, right, Paz? Like
The XL or the 3DS? Yeah, I did. Yeah, what am I saying? It wasn't that big. It was like a DSi almost, like a little bit bigger maybe.
So it's a little bit bigger than the light. Yeah, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's threes.
Unless it's gargantuan, I don't think it really matters.
I heard people really like that XL, though.
The XL is sick, dude. I mean, it is ginormous, man.
And I just can't see carrying that around anywhere.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It needs to fit in my pocket.
Bulge.
All right, AC Blur asks, is it worthy to buy Dead Space 2 to unlock Isaac Clarke in Dragon Age 2? Tony, go.
I've just, with these little DLC like bonuses, I've never really been that excited about any of them. So no, probably not worth it. It probably is worth buying Dead Space 2 to play Dead Space 2.
Yeah.
But to buy it just for some DLC, probably not worth it.
No. Yeah, I mean, just to buy it alone on that, it just, like, that seems gimmicky, you know? I mean, why would I buy a whole game just to be like, oh, sick, Isaac Clarke's in here? Then again, like, you know, a lot of people bought fucking Super Smash Bros. Brawl because Metal Gear Solid, like, Snake was in it, so... You never know.
Hey, that Isaac Clarke armor looks badass. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. It doesn't.
What's his weapon? Is it still a sword? I haven't seen.
I mean, I think the weapon is whatever your weapon happens to be. But
yeah, I gotcha.
The Dead Space look with like a knight is kind of cool.
Let's see. Coming from Brian. Are you guys upset that Gigawatt spoiled a major plot point of a comic that was less than 24 hours old? He is.
If Gigawatt did something to upset you, Brian, then I'm glad that he did it.
That's nice.
While he's on the subject, what's the statute of limitations on openly discussing spoilers in an open forum? Like when Jeff ruined the ending of Buried on Facebook a few days ago.
I think with spoilers, it should go like this. If it's an open forum, just don't do spoilers.
Yeah.
This is, I mean,
well, I give it a few months. Like, I give it like pretty much like a year. You know what I mean?
If you haven't after a year, that, if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry. If I can't spoil Sixth Sense, fuck you.
Yeah, at this point, yeah. I think you've had enough time to see
it. I mean, yeah, there's, I mean, after a year, you should be able to talk about it. I mean, I don't like talking about it. Yeah, go ahead.
At the same time, though, if you're reading something and it's about a movie or something you haven't seen, it's on Twitter or Facebook, I don't think you should read it. I don't know. Maybe I'm...
But sometimes on Facebook and Twitter, you can't avoid it. Like, you just...
Yeah, exactly. You just...
Shit, no! Oh, my eyes!
Not be undone, so...
Did you spoil the ending of Birds, Jeff?
Not really. I just said it was an unhappy ending or something.
Don't you dare. Spoilers.
I didn't like it.
If he listens to our show, he's probably going to think we spoil it, too.
A movie dudes, I didn't spoil it. I was like, I like the way
I just, yeah,
it ended.
I don't like talking about spoilers.
I think if you're on an open forum like Twitter, you probably just shouldn't say anything spoilerish. Like, if you're doing a blog post or something, it's easy to warn people ahead of time. Like, hey, I'm discussing the end of Grand Theft Auto. You don't read my post if you haven't finished it yet.
Right.
But I don't like my spoiler.
Yeah, exactly. Give it an alert. Just say, like, don't read my next couple tweets, you know, something like that.
Well, even then, it's still, what if you miss the first tweet? Like,
exactly.
You bring it up, you're like, oh my god, he really is dead in the Sixth Sense. Yeah,
it's just, whoa.
My spoilers would be like, the movie had a sad ending, or I didn't, you know, it was like an unhappy ending, and I think it's...
Yeah, exactly.
It's picking up. I don't give a shit. You want to, don't hear spoilers, stay away from the internet.
Get up.
It's so bad, like, if there's a game coming out that I really, really want to play and I'm really excited for the story, I won't read any articles about it for, like...
Oh, no, I'd never read articles. I get way too scared. Yeah.
Alright, so that was all we had on our Twitter feed.
I had something that was... What was it? Let me see here. What do I got here for you guys?
What? My
internet's still working. Hold on.
I have a couple we can talk about. Nacho, that motorboater, he writes in, what game that wasn't announced for the NGP do you want for it? And I was thinking about it, probably for me, which I would have actually taken out of my house, would be a Mass Effect. Because that's kind of a sweet game to play, like, I would think, on the go, and just put a little time here and there playing. So... maybe like a side mission for Mass Effect, or maybe you're just like following like someone else. Like, you know, during those 2 years that Shepard's out, it'd be kind of cool to see what happens to the crew and whatnot. So,
do you like the Garrus story?
That would be awesome. He's awesome. Yeah. Garrus is one of my favorite characters. Him and Thane.
Like a Thane assassination simulating game?
Assassin's Creed Thane.
I want to see how Miranda got so hot.
Full body detail. That's nice. Jeffrey?
What's the question?
All right. Jay Bolo writes... Jay Bolo writes, would you puddle and sell Persian Breeze for a PSV 2? Yes, Bolo, I would bottle and sell that shit for any man that wants to go with his lovely lady.
Damn right.
Persian Breeze, that's what's
Persian
up.
Persian Breeze.
Let's see, we got another one from AZ99. He writes, do you think Sony/Nintendo are using the portables to extend their console lives? Or are new consoles coming soon?
I think Sony is pretty entrenched with a 10-year life cycle for the PS3 or whatever, but I'm pretty sure the Wii is on the way out. Like, the sales are dead.
Exactly.
There are games coming out, and that's fine, but I don't think they're even selling as well as Nintendo would expect them to sell.
I have a feeling that we will hear about whatever Nintendo's next home device is at E3 this year.
You can, I mean... you can buy an Xbox and pretty much a PS3 for the same price as a Wii, so, I mean...
Yeah. I don't think we'll see it until next year.
Yeah, no, at least.
Usually. At some really odd time that doesn't really make sense. Right.
Exactly.
Surprise! Let's see here. Excuse me. Sleepy. I think that is it for my feed. So that was it for you guys. So, anyone else have anything?
Jeff?
I had one from, of course, Gigawatt Conduit.
This is probably a spoiler one, right?
Do you think publishers are putting too much faith in new IPs? We kind of talked about this already, but I think they're not putting enough faith in them. Fuck, what are you talking about?
I think some of them are much more willing to make a sequel than they are to try to make a good new IP.
He's saying are they putting too much faith in new IPs, which is saying, like, you know...
I think they expect them to fail.
Wouldn't that be too little faith?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, I don't think they're putting a whole lot of faith in them either, so...
Yeah, exactly.
He's I mean, if you were to list off the games from 2011 that you're really excited about, most of them are going to be sequels.
And shooters.
Like, oh, great, Uncharted 3. Elder Scrolls 5.
He added
Mass Effect 3. It's...
Yeah, Homefront.
He sent a second tweet saying, yeah, by that I mean what
team. Yeah, fuck you, Homefront.
What was that, Jeff?
He had a second tweet that said, by that I mean what THQ was doing with Homefront.
I don't know.
I think THQ has a fantastic marketing campaign with Homefront, which makes it seem like they're putting a ton of faith into the game, and maybe they are. I think THQ, as opposed to a company like Activision or EA, is really looking to break into the big time. Like, they're definitely a smaller player.
Yeah, I mean, I think they need to rely on their new IPs more because, you know, they don't have a giant stable of games to rely on.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we're looking forward to the next Red Faction game and Saints Row 3.
Right, like, what else did I got? Like,
I'm all over Saints Row 3.
They got Darksiders.
Yeah, you would.
So, I mean, yeah, that was a new IP last year.
That was a new IP, but, you know, we can only hope the next one sells well, but then again, they're not putting their faith in a new IP at that point. They're putting their faith in a sequel.
And, I mean, it looks like Microsoft is putting a little faith in, maybe a little too much faith in Homefront, because, by all accounts, they're the ones that approached THQ for, you know, exclusive rights to the first DLC for that, so I don't know.
Alright. Pretzel Jeff! Pretzel!
Do we got anything else, or is that a wrap?
Studebaker. I think that's a wrap-a-rooney.
Jeff?
Yep.
No, he's busy eating his pretzels. Do not disturb him.
I am eating pretzels.